Now, it just hit me how much you must love these flowers. No, when you didn't go straight to the bank, I mean with your nephew being kidnapped, and they told me you took the time to stop off at the nursery.
You mean I'm being followed already? That you're interfering and you promised you wouldn't? I'm gonna call up your superiors.
No, there's no need to do that, sir. No, they've told me, and they've made it very clear. I'm to stay in touch, but until your nephew was released, believe me, we're way back. Way back. Nothing to worry about.
In that case, I don't mind revealing that my nephew isn't worth a sack of peat moss. He's a wife-ridden weakling whom I've despised for years. And if it wasn't for the fact that he's my only relative, I'd call up his captors and tell them that they're welcome to him.
Welcome back to License to Spiel. I'm Thad Haight.
I'm Carl Wonders.
And we are talking about The Greenhouse Jungle.
Yes. Interesting title.
The one where Janice Lester didn't do it.
Right. Neither did T'Pring. Getting our Star Trek references out of the way really quickly.
Yeah, no, these are pretty obvious, although I will say I would never have recognized the actress who played T'Pring as T'Pring when watching Columbo.
I'm going to go on the record and say this is the worst hair episode I think I've seen of Columbo so far. I can count at least three, maybe four people who have really bad wigs in this episode.
Yeah, some of them are pretty bad. Is Sergeant Wilson's a wig or is it just bad hair?
No, I think that's just his hair.
Because it's not good. It's not good hair.
No, it's not good. Because Bob Dishy will show up again in another episode as playing the same part, although his name will be John Wilson instead of Frederick Wilson. I guess they just forgot.
It happens.
Yeah. And I mostly remember him as one of the commonly recurring defense lawyers on Law & Order.
I don't actually remember him from Law & Order, okay. But I'll take your word for it.
He plays Larry Weaver. He shows up a lot in the earlier seasons, I think.
Okay.
And this episode, we see Ray Milland return. He had previously played Arthur Kennicott in the Robert Culp episode, where he was the grieving widower of the victim who was murdered and then cleaned up in his eyeglasses.
Yeah, and he's apparently a pretty big name. He was well known. Was a big movie actor in the 40s. I predictably have never seen him in anything other than Columbo. He was apparently in a couple episodes of the original Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I mean he was of that era when he was a contract player, I think, with Paramount. I think if I remember right.
Yeah, that's I spread.
Yeah. So. He was born Alfred Reginald Jones, and he took his stage name. And apparently early in his career, he was known as Spike Milland, which I think Ray works better.
Yes.
Especially later in life. He's been in a lot. The one that stands out to me is he plays the murderer in Dial M for Murder, which is Hitchcock's sort of Columbo movie.
I have not seen that one.
So it does exactly the same thing where it's you see the murder happen and you see the plot to set up the murder and everything. And then the detective shows up and figures out who did it. So it's the exact same style as that Levinson Link used in Columbo.
A fascinating piece of trivia is that Ray Milland died the day before I was born.
Oh, fascinating to whom?
No one, really. I just found it notable. Okay. Ray Milland had to die so that I could, you know, enter the world is, I guess, what happened there.
And he acted up until the year before he died. So,
yeah,
to the mid-80s.
And he was married to his wife for 54 years.
Mm-hmm.
So good for Ray Milland, I guess.
Yeah. I think he's fine in this episode. I think I may have been on the record in being a little somewhat dismissive of this episode. And then it turns out I liked it a little bit more than I remembered when I watched this one. I think it's an interesting story.
I wouldn't say that it's like an amazing episode or anything, but I was definitely enjoying this the whole way through. It wasn't like the last one where I was like waiting for it to finish already.
Yeah. So unlike the last two things we watched, this one, you did not text me saying it was too long.
No, this was fine. I liked how it kept me guessing because I really wasn't sure what was going to happen with this one. Mm-hmm. I even texted you while I was watching it. I think 37 minutes in is a new record for how long it takes to get to the murder.
Yeah, because it doesn't start off as a murder. I mean,
no,
it starts off with this plot to steal money out of a trust fund by pretending to be this guy's pretending to be kidnapped. My only critique really is I don't understand why Jarvis Ray Milland is doing this other than to get rid of his idiot nephew.
So there's a throwaway line when he's talking to the wife and he says, I hope you understand that I'm not able to contribute anything to this. And I think that was supposed to be a reference to the fact that maybe he doesn't actually have any money.
Oh, interesting. I missed that. That's when they're collecting the money together for the ransom or trying to collect money for the ransom.
Yeah.
Okay. He spent all his money on orchids, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Wonder if he has the Tuvix one.
So you're usually the one that brings these up, but do husbands usually autograph photos of themselves and have their wives put them on the nightstand?
He also does his mistress also.
He did it with his mistress too. So
yeah, that's a weird thing. So yeah, I found it. It's right before Columbo visits them for the first time.
They demand a ransom of $300,000. I'll wager a week's here and there, or even you don't spend that sort of money.
Don't you ever stop, Jarvis.
However, leaving our personal affection aside, you must realize that my situation is such that even I couldn't pour even the smallest drop into such a huge bucket. Even though I'm not a weakling with a spendthrift wife.
Oh, shut up, Jarvis.
So I think the implication there is that he doesn't have any money. So yeah, I guess he spent it all on orchids.
Maybe. Like his throwaway line after that, he's like, even though I'm not a weakling with a spendthrift wife. Because he really thinks nothing of his nephew.
He really does. My
goodness. I mean, I don't blame him because Bradford Dillman comes off as a real loser.
Yes.
With really bad hair.
Oh, God. Again. Such bad hair. Very 70s hair.
Yeah, gosh.
And he and Janice Lester have an interesting relationship.
Well, I was going to say, I kind of like it subverts expectation a little bit in the opening scene is the wife calling the purported mistress on the phone. And then we find out that, no, actually, she's been having an affair with the most 70s affair guy possible.
Oh, God. And he's like Dime Store Fabio.
Yes. I like there's a line that and I don't remember her name, what the character's name is off the top of my head.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to call the wife Janice Lester the whole time.
Yeah, so Janice Lester and T'Pring, where she says something like that the guy's job is to suntan or something like that.
Yes. They both have their own affairs, but they also both loved each other. So, OK, who am I to judge? Today, they would probably just be polyamorous. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that
one's toupee is bad too.
Yes, but apparently Dime Store Fabio was blackmailing.
That moment. So hopping around the moment when Columbo does his just one more thing to her and essentially outs the guy.
Yes, I love that.
I love that.
Oh, there's one little thing. You know, this is going to sound kind of silly, I guess. Take it for what it's worth. You see, somebody tried to convince me that you had a lover, Mrs. Goodwin. And not only that, this person, Gloria West, young girl, that was her name, Gloria West. Anyway, she said that this mysterious lover of yours, some guy with deep suntan, that he'd go away and
get out of your life forever if your husband gave him $50,000. I'm sure it's just malicious gossip. Probably shouldn't have mentioned it. However, for what it's worth.
So the plan here, as far as the nephew's concerned, is they're going to stage a kidnapping and then ransom him off for $300,000, which is a good chunk of money.
Yeah. And when they're setting it up, he asks the uncle, he's like, do we have to roll the jag off the cliff? That cost me a pretty penny. And he's like, did it cost you $300,000? And my first thought was, well, that doesn't seem that unreasonable for a jag. And then I'm like, well, this is 2025. And I looked it up and that's $2.3 million. But then I also looked up how much jaguars cost and they're a lot cheaper than I thought they were. Like, I always thought of a jaguar as a luxury car, but apparently, like, all of their models start well under $100,000.
Yeah. I mean, they're not quite the car brand they used to be, but sure. Still. Now you're just making me think of Mad Men and poor Lane with his Jaguar that won't start.
Poor Lane is just a good description for the middle seasons of Mad Men.
Poor Lane Price.
Poor Lane Price.
He gets to beat up Pete Campbell that one time, though. That's true.
And he gets to get drunk with Don and watch Godzilla in a movie theater. That was fun.
And talk about the size of his, well, you know.
And at least he didn't get his foot destroyed by a riding lawnmower like that other Lingus guy.
Oh, God. That's right. Yes. What jacket is this guy wearing?
Which
guy? Bradford Dillman.
Who's Bradford Dillman?
The nephew.
Okay, thank
you. That white thing with the shoulder, like, lapels things.
I don't know. It feels like a very 70s thing to me.
It looks like it's made out of long underwear material.
It might be.
I will say I give them credit for actually filming these scenes at night instead of doing.
Yeah, bad day for night. I noticed that. It was immediately obvious because there was no astigmatism on the lenses.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they didn't have to do a fake thing with that.
Yep.
Yeah. No, the night scenes actually look decent.
So, yeah, they push the Jaguar off the cliff and then Columbo shows up.
I don't think it's long underwear material.
No, but it just looks like thermal underwear material to me.
No, I think they're just like pinstripes. Maybe it I can't
tell. It's kind of waffly looking, so.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
I don't know. It's immaterial. No pun intended.
You intended that pun. Don't lie.
I did. Yeah. So here we meet Sergeant Wilson. Who's?
Yeah, I have a note that just says Columbo as a fan.
Oh, yeah.
And they take the quickest way down.
So Peter Falk actually does this stunt himself, and he did it like 3 times. No way would anyone let the star of their show do this in today.
I could see Tom Cruise doing this.
Yes. Okay. But.
But yes.
It's the quickest way down to the car. He just starts running. He loses balance and he runs down the hill and falls in a little ravine.
But I'll tell you, it was the quickest way down.
It was the quickest way down, yeah.
And then when he leaves, he says, I'm going to take the long way around.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
It feels unlikely to me that the car would have ended up on its side like that.
Well, I mean, if the ditch was like that.
Yeah. But like where it finally rests, it's just like flat ground all around it.
Yeah. I mean, that's not where it landed at night.
No, it is not where it landed at night.
And I like how Wilson is talking at Columbo for like 10 minutes, listing off all these facts that he's figured out. And then Columbo's like, do you mind if I just ask what your name is?
Yes. Although, to be fair, there are a couple times where he like tells Columbo, you don't need me to tell this. And he's like, oh, please don't tell me.
Yeah, please tell me. Yes. No, that's definitely Bob Dishy's hair.
Okay. It's just bad.
If you're wearing a wig, you don't have a bald spot in the back of your head.
I mean, not normally.
No.
It's almost not visible just because of how bushy his hair is.
But right.
Yeah. It's definitely thinning on top.
Mm-hmm.
So then Columbo goes to see the wife and the uncle, and they're acting rather cagey.
Because they don't, because Columbo doesn't know about the ransom.
Except he already assumes the ransom, but yes.
Right, of course.
And the ransom notes, the ransom call said not to talk to the cops, because they always do. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, of course they did. I'm getting a definite Fargo vibe from some of this.
Yeah. I have seen that.
It ends better for Jarvis than it did for for Wade.
Yes, just slightly.
But it's the same idea where at one point, I think it's revealed that the nephew thinks his cut of the ransom is only going to be like $10,000 or something. Mm-hmm. So clearly Jarvis is going to keep a good chunk of it. God, he really does look like a discount Fabio.
Right? But like an extremely discounted Fabio.
It's like a weird mix up between Fabio and Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I can see it.
That is a big house that Jarvis has, though.
That's where all his money went. House in the Orchids. Yeah, it says something about the Orchids that when he talks about how much that one orchid costs, I still think that's a lot of fucking money for a plant.
even if it was the same today.
Even if that was how much it was today, yeah.
Because I would kill that thing in no time flat. $1,200 for a flower. Or a plant, I guess.
Yeah, that still feels like an unreasonable amount of money to pay for a flower.
Yeah.
Unless it is the Tuvix orchid.
Swales Wilson.
Not my best work. Best work.
I like fish.
Yeah, so yes, Columbo goes to the greenhouse and talks to the uncle. Turns out he just mentions that they did see that he went to the greenhouse first before before going to secure the ransom money.
Right.
And also mentions that he knows the uncle has a gun because there was a police report from a year ago where he shot at someone who was stealing his flowers.
Chekhov's police report. We had the literal Chekhov's gun earlier.
Yes. Like, I was surprised the nephew was still willing to go through with everything when his uncle pulled a gun on him. Like, is that a normal occurrence or something?
Oh, it's just Uncle Jarvis being Uncle Jarvis. I like this line, though. Jarvis is talking about him, and he says he's a wife-ridden weakling whom I've despised for years. How you really feel about the guy.
Yeah, so Columbo, while he's talking, is shooting pool on Jarvis's pool table. And, like, at one point, he talks about, I can't miss. But, like, every shot he takes, he picks up both the cue and the ball that he's going to hit and lines them up perfectly. Of course he can't miss. So, something I do notice a few times here in this episode... Mm-hmm. When people take phone calls.
Yep.
And the call ends, it goes to a dial tone. Mm-hmm. I don't remember landlines doing that.
Yeah, I don't.
I seem to recall it would just be dead air until you would hang up.
Maybe if you left it off the hook too long, you'd get that other weird tone.
The beep, 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 beep. Yes. But I don't remember them going to a dial tone when the person on the other end hangs up.
No. No, I think you're right.
But maybe that's how it worked back then. Columbo does take a call in Jarvis's house, though.
He does. And the old, I told him I'd be here. Hope you don't mind. Yeah. So I love these shots of Jarvis driving to get to drop off the ransom money. And it's like it's rear projection with a process shot inside. Two of our favorite things.
Oh, yeah. Also, back when Columbo is talking to Jarvis about the gun and Jarvis is, you know, sort of downplaying the gun, saying, oh, I haven't seen it in almost a year. It's around the house somewhere. It's like, is that really a thing you want to say to a police officer?
Somewhere around. Well, you know, if they locked up every person with an unlicensed firearm.
Sigh.
And I appreciate that Sergeant Wilson hangs a lantern on the thing we've been talking about lately, where he says these people are wondering, no, why a homicide detective wants to hang around on a kidnapping.
He's like, boy,
because it's Columbo.
Yeah. And he's like, boy, I hope they're not mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Columbo goes to talk to T'Pring. And now I can see it. Now that I'm like, know that she's T'Pring, I can see that she's T'Pring. But I, yeah, that went right over my head.
Well, we did missed the part that Jarvis does shoot his nephew here with when he comes with the ransom money.
And, you know, I think I get the feeling that if at that moment the nephew had said, yes, I'm going to leave my wife, she's not getting another dime, then Jarvis might not have shot him.
I don't know. I feel like he cares more for his wife than him.
Well, no, what I'm saying is the nephew agreed with, yes.
Yeah,
I think okay. If the nephew had agreed with Jarvis and said, I'm not going to give any more money to my wife, then, and maybe. I think Jarvis might have like been like, okay, yes, we can hate your wife together. Now let's go murder her, you know, or something like that. Yeah, those signed photos are weird. Like, was he a celebrity or something?
Oh.
Also, T'Pring has a stuffed dog on her coffee table along with the signed photo.
She does.
A stuffed dog, an ashtray, and a signed photo of her the affair. That is an interesting choice. Oh, hey, it's that olive carpet again, too, by the way. Probably the same one.
I mean, at least it's clearly a stuffed animal dog and not just a stuffed dog.
That's true.
That's also a very small coffee table.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's not actually a coffee table because there's the other table is right in front of her at the couch with the coffee table. So it's like a table. Yeah, it's a side table. Yeah,
I guess it's a side table. Okay, that makes more sense. Well, the size makes more sense.
Yeah, because she has an apartment, which this is a very fancy apartment.
Mm-hmm.
With that marble fireplace. But as we've discussed, everyone in Columbo is always rich.
Even the ones who are just down on their luck like she is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Ken Nichols, whose job was getting a suntan.
Jesus. Yes. So Columbo goes down to the marina and talks to Janice Lester and Discount Fabio. And clearly Discount Fabio is there to captain the ship because the world of ship captains doesn't have room for women. Sorry, couldn't resist. Indeed. For the record, Turnabout Intruder is a terrible episode, and that line is part of why it's a terrible episode.
Well, we talked about Wolf in the Fold recently too, so
oh god, honestly I'm not sure if Turnabout Intruder is worse than Wolf in the Fold.
They're both pretty bad. The main plot of Wolf in the Fold is less hinges on the really bad stuff.
That's true. Plus it has Piglet.
Yeah. That's why we were talking about last time.
Yes, because John Fiedler. The doctor. Yeah, and here's where Columbo talks about some guy with a deep suntan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then T'Pring goes to talk to Jarvis.
Yeah, what's up with this scene?
Do you think Columbo put her up to it, maybe?
I don't know.
Because we have situations where stuff like that happens in other episodes before.
Yeah.
Most notably, I'm thinking of the one where he works with the daughter to catch the evil stepmother.
Well, I think she's just trying to, like, she wants to pass along the information about the gun to Jarvis, but I don't know why she would even know him.
Yeah,
well, I do like this moment where she starts talking about the gun and then Jarvis pulls it out and then it's like, oh, it was the wife. And then he puts the gun back in the drawer.
And clearly she doesn't notice this at all.
Right. I know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's what Jarvis is like. Oh, I got to hide the gun. And I like the moment where it looks like Janice Leslie's going to wake up and Jarvis was going to just shoot her.
Shoot her. Yeah.
Because that wouldn't have been suspicious at all.
No, I don't know what he would have done then.
All right. So then after that, the sergeant comes and he's using his siren to come, no less. He's like, I came over as quickly as I could, but I got your message. There's a lot that the police do in the next little bit that I feel like they would have waited until morning and not, they wouldn't have called out like five or six people to search the entire house in the middle of the night. Right. This just doesn't seem plausible to me because it's already been a couple days. It's not like there's a sudden urgency. At least that's my thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So Wilson comes over and takes the gun because Jarvis is, this is the gun that he stole from Janice Lester, and says, oh, I finally found the gun. Here you go. Like, there's no real reason. It's not like they think they're going to surprise her getting rid of evidence or anything.
Is Columbo at an outdoor soup counter?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I guess so.
Listeners, if you live in Los Angeles, tell us if outdoor soup outdoor late night soup counters are a thing where you live.
I could be wrong, but I think this is the same guy that was serving him chili at the chili pool hall.
Might be. She says the gun's in the drawer and it's not there. So then they're searching the house with a metal detector.
Which gets set off by the shoe trees.
Which was a term I did not know.
Okay.
This was new to me. Anytime I had encountered that word in writing or hearing it, I had always pictured something like a clothes tree for shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like a shoe
rack. Which do exist.
Yeah. But no, apparently it's a thing that you put inside individual shoes to help to so that they keep their shape.
Yep.
I don't have any leather shoes. Not like that. Not like bespoke, you know, fancy leather shoes that need to hold their shape.
Right.
And don't hold their shape on their own. So I've never owned one, but.
Yeah.
Find it.
I don't either. I like the Russian nesting doll suitcases.
Yeah. It's like, do you recognize this one? And this one?
And this one?
I mean, that's how Russian nesting doll suitcases, I didn't Makes realize sense. That was a thing in the 70s. It is a thing today. Yeah. Like, that's how I have a three-piece suitcase set and I store them inside each other.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they did that back then, though. I thought that was mostly a roller bag thing.
Right. Since we always seem to comment on ties, I want to comment that Grover's tie is too short.
It is.
I loved how earlier Columbo basically sends Wilson on this thing and he gets off on the idea of being in charge and everything. And he just wants to impress Columbo because, again, he's his biggest fan.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they find the gun in the shoe, in the shoe area. They're taking her downtown to Booker. Jarvis goes home, is about to pour himself a drink when he hears a crash from his greenhouse. And I don't think Columbo can legally be there searching for things right now.
Nope. So this is one of those times where I like the gotcha on paper, but it would never hold up for a million different reasons.
So like almost every episode?
This is worse than most.
Yes, it is. No, though, you know, it would the evidence would immediately get thrown out.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah.
I
mean, so the idea is that way back when Jarvis mentioned that he shot at an intruder, there was a bullet that lodged itself in the dirt in the greenhouse. And Columbo went there on his own without any warrant or whatever and found the bullet and sent it off for ballistics testing. And turns out it matches the same gun it's the same gun that shot the nephew, which doesn't exactly mean much of anything.
That in and of itself does not prove much. Yeah.
Nope.
And regardless, that is evidence that was not collected correctly and would be thrown out in court.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing, and it's just Columbo's thing. He does this thing and then antagonizes the perp into confessing, basically.
Mm-hmm. Which you'll notice happens in Murder, She Wrote all the time.
Yes.
And that's not even a policeman.
Well, that makes it, you know, less egregious, actually, when it's a non-policeman doing it.
Sure. But
yeah. So and then once he realizes what it is, we both commented on this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The sergeant's about to arrest, is arresting him, and he starts to read his Miranda rights, and Jarvis just glares at him, and he stops. Yeah. And that is not a official waiver of your Miranda rights.
Nope. No, he needs to finish what he was saying.
Yeah. And then Columbo gives Janice Lester a ride home.
Mm-hmm. Which is a nice little touch because mm-hmm. she's been
through
very cold to him the whole time.
Yeah. But he just kept her from going to jail. So, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So
that
was The Greenhouse Jungle.
Not quite sure where the title comes from other than, I mean, there's a greenhouse, I guess. But there's some really odd choices for stills in these credits.
Yes.
Like there's one that's just like an out of focus shot of some guy leaning over a couch, which I'm guessing is a metal detector of some kind. But so, yeah, I found it more entertaining than I remembered when it's been a while since I watched that one. It's not one that I would go to very often.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But I think it's a decent episode.
Yeah.
And in my case, this is the first time I've ever seen it. So I mm-hmm. don't regret watching it or anything.
Thank you so much for listening to us this episode. If you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Blue Sky at Podspiel, PODSPIEL. You can also find this episode and all back episodes of our show on our website, licensetospiel.com. That's license with a C. You can also find me on Blue Sky at Listening to Film.
And you can find me at Tyrannicus, that's TYRANICUS.
I will say that the next episode is one that I've watched a fair bit and
okay
has Robert Culp in it again.
All right.
It's probably my favorite Robert Culp episode. And it's another one of the Murder, She Wrote type gotchas that is really clever. And then you're like, oh, but that wouldn't actually do anything. So I will leave you to discover that one.
Excellent.
So that'll be next episode. We'll talk about The Most Crucial Game.
Ooh.